This message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada. At the end, we will give information about how to contact us to receive a copy of this or other messages.
In James 4, verse 8, we're going to look at James 4, 8a. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. We've done a lot of drawing near to God today. In these times like this, we certainly do draw near to God. And we need to draw near to God. He calls us to draw near to God. Oh God, how I need you. How I need you. Drawing near to God has not always been an easy thing for his people. And it still isn't for some of us, is it? Drawing near to God is a process that requires something of us. But first and foremost, it required much, much of God. When we go into the prisons, for those of us that go in, we go through the doors, and they shut behind us. There's kind of a clank. And we go in, and we're with the guys. And we love those guys. We enjoy their presence. And then when we go out, the doors clank behind us. I mean, they don't get to go out. They stay in there. There's bars that separate us from them. There's fences. There's razor wire. But what really separates them from us is a sentence. They're guilty. It's been determined that they were guilty. And that sentence separates them from us. There was a time in the garden when Adam and Eve were there. They were able to draw near to God, weren't they? There was a time when God came and walked in the garden. Adam and Eve were there. But then they sinned. And there was a separation, wasn't there? We're told in Genesis 3 that God drove them out of the garden. He drove them out. That's strong wording. Because of their sin, there became a separation, a wall between God and his people. A very real wall. And no longer could man draw near to God as he could beforehand. That separation caused God to draw off and away from man. We read then on, as we read through Genesis and then on into Exodus, that God heard his people crying out while they were in Egypt, and God drew them out of Egypt, right? He drew them out, but did he draw near to them? There was still a separation. There's still a very real separation between God and his people. He called them his people. They were his children. He even called them his bride. But there was a very real separation there. Find when Moses would go to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, who could go to Mount Sinai and draw into the presence of God? Only one, the mediator Moses. And one time Moses and Aaron. But the people could not. They could not even approach the mountain of God, lest God said he would break out against them and destroy them. There was a very real separation. And then in Genesis 25, we see God starting to lay out the plans for the tabernacle. And then in the last 15 chapters, 25 through 40 of Exodus, God lays out this meticulous plan for the tabernacle. And within that plan is a plan for a veil. There's going to be the outer court. There's going to be the holy place. There's going to be the Holy of Holies, where what's in the Holy of Holies but the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, the cherubim over it, the dwelling place of God, where symbolic of the very presence of God. But there's a veil there separating the people from God. They could not draw near to God except through a mediator. Once a year, the high priest would go in on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, right? He would go in with the blood of goats and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. But he'd go in with a rope around his ankle, right? He'd go in with a rope around his ankle because if he screwed up and didn't consecrate himself, he's dead meat. And it wouldn't be a good thing for him to be left in there. The next guy goes in, tries to get him out. Bah, he's dead. God was holy, and his children were not holy. God was righteous, and his children were not righteous. They were separated from God because of their sin, because of their transgression. They could not go into the presence of God except for once a year, one man serving as a mediator, the high priest. So, throughout the history of Israel, then from then on, we see God sometimes drawing nearer to them, them drawing nearer to God, but inevitably, then they drew away from God, wouldn't they? They'd go after the idols, they'd go after the peoples of the land, they would sin against God, and there'd be a separation again. Finally, the people are exiled, the Babylonians exiled. For 70 years, no longer was there even a tabernacle worship, let alone a temple worship after that. No longer was there even an Ark of Covenant. They couldn't draw near to God. The high priest couldn't even go into the Holy of Holies. The people were separated from God. There was a very real wall of separation, symbolized by the veil that would be, again, put within Haggai's temple when they came back from Babylonian exile, and again, a veil in Herod's temple. But again, that veil was always symbolic of the separation of the people from God. They could not draw near to God. But finally, in the fullness of time, God sent his son. Finally, in the fullness of time, God incarnate came and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And finally, through the cross of Christ, we could draw near to God. Finally, as he took his last breath and said, "It is finished," and God came down and rent that veil from top to bottom, finally the Holy of Holies was open to you and I, to the believers, to the church universal, to the church triumphant. Finally, it was open, and we had access to God. We had the ability to draw near to God in a very real, real way. And so James says, and here in this book of James, we have draw near to, and I see it as the crux of the book of James, if not much of the epistles. We have draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, let's draw near to the Lord again. Father, we do thank you. We praise you. We rejoice, Father, that this part of it is done. Father, it is finished, this part. And we thank you for your kind superintendency over this surgery. And now we pray, Father, for the recovery process. We pray that you, God, would superintend that there would be no infection, Father, no problems with the blood vessels, Father, that you would cause everything to heal perfectly according to your perfect design. And Father, we do praise you and thank you that we can draw near to you. Father, we pray that and know right now that Ariel and Ashley and the kids are drawing near to you because they can. Because they've been born again, they have access to you and to your throne. Father, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. So happy. That waiting another 3 hours or 2 hours or whatever from now just was not going to be much fun. Praise the Lord. Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Let's go back to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Oh, Lord, you are good and you do good. Yeah, we're talking about drawing near to God and the fact that people, his chosen ones for a time could not draw near to God. But then in the fullness of time, Christ came. The cross was brought. The shed blood was placed. And the Holy Spirit was given. And we can draw near to God. In Hebrews 10, let's start at verse 19. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We see some words that we're looking at here, veil and drawing near to God. And here in the book of Hebrews, and we can remember back several years ago when we were going through this with the man that I wish was standing right here going through 1 Corinthians. But we will wait patiently. 19, therefore. So again, therefore goes back. We can go back just one verse to see what the therefore is there for. Now, where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. So we're looking at that offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, talking to the brothers in Christ, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, where they could not enter the holy place because there was a veil, now by the blood of Jesus Christ, we can enter the holy place. And in that holy place was a dwelling place of God. In that holy place was God Almighty. We can draw our access straight to God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We can go to God Almighty in prayer. Our access is through Jesus Christ, through his shed blood. That's the reason we've been here all day long, accessing the throne of grace through the blood of Christ, because we have the opportunity to draw near to God. And just think of the blessing that that is. For 2,000 years, his people have been able to draw near to God. Beforehand, his people could not draw near to God. There was a veil separating them. They could not draw near to God. They drew near to God in some ways. And we certainly can't take away from many of those in the Old Testament that we see as our, you know, from Hebrews 11. We can't take away from that. But they could not draw near to God like you and I can draw near to God. The cross had not been put forth. The Savior had not gone to the cross. The blood had not been shed to wash away the sins. And the access to the throne of grace was given to us through that. So, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence, do we have confidence to enter the holy place? We should, of all people, have the most confidence because of the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us, by a new and living way. So there's something new about this, right? It's not old. What was the old way of going and trying to get into the presence of God? Oxen and goats, but even that, you ran into a veil. You ran into a wall. You couldn't go there. The old way was no access except through that very, very, very fallible high priest. Very fallible, who was going to die just like you and I and all of them. But now there's a new and living way. So if it's a new and living way, what the old way was old and dead. It was a way of dying. And there's no way to get around that. What does the law do? The law brings death. That's what it does. It brings, go to 2 Corinthians 3. Wonderful passage, 2 Corinthians 3 into 4. We see there that we're talking about Moses going in and the veil going over his face to because of the glory of God there. But in let's start at verse 5. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Two things contrasting, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The letter, old, the Spirit, new. For the letter kills. The old way was the way of death. The new and living way is the way of life. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. That's the difference. Goes on, verse 9, for if the ministry of condemnation has glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness or justification abound in glory. On, verse 14, but their minds were hardened, for until this very day at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. In the Old Testament, the veil's there, it remains. If you're going to go by the letter of the law, if you're going to go by the old, the veil remains. For the people, for the Jewish people, for those that are observant Jews, there's still a veil unless they have come to the cross and been washed by the blood and given and accessed a new and living way into the holy place. There's still a veil there, and there always will be until the Spirit of life comes. Verse 15, but to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart, but whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And verse 18, but we all, talking about all of us that are born again in Christ Jesus, who have bowed the knee to Christ, who have gone and been washed by the blood of Christ, but we all, verse 18, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. That is the hope, that sure, confident hope that we have, is that we have access, that we can draw near to God because the veil has been lifted, and in a very real sense, we draw into the holy place. So verse 20, back to Hebrews 10, verse 20. So by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, we have confidence to enter the holy place because of the new and living way. The new and living way, which is the cross, which is the grace that God poured out upon the cross through his blood, and he inaugurated that for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Now think about this. Again, we see the veil. He inaugurated this through the veil, that is his flesh. When we think of this, when we think of the veil, that which was separating us from God, what happened upon the cross? Upon the cross, when he breathed his last, when he said it is finished, there on the cross, through his blood, the veil was rent because God came down. God came down, and because of that sacrifice on the cross, the sacrifice of Jesus' flesh, the God-man being sacrificed upon the cross, God came down and he rent the veil. He tore it open so that you and I could draw near to him. What a gift. What a wonderful, marvelous, precious gift that God gave us in the cross that we could draw near to him. Okay, I'm going to start at 19 again and then read through. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, and that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, it didn't stop at the cross. It didn't stop at the grave. He went to the house of God. We have a great high priest over the house of God. What happens in the house of God? It's a dwelling place of God. Jesus Christ, we can look to heaven, we can look there and say that we have our mediator, a great high priest, standing at the right hand of God, interceding for us, for you and I. And yet, where is the dwelling place of God? Where is it? Yeah. We have that same high priest, the one who went to the cross, the one who caused the veil to be split, the one who made it so that we could draw near to God. And everything he said in John 14 through 17 is so true. He comes to dwell with us. And he dwells within us, the dwelling place of God. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near, verse 22, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. You and I have what they, thousands of years before 32, 33 AD, never had. They never had the ability to do what you and I have the ability to do. We can draw near to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Let us draw near to God, people. Let us draw near and be assured that if we draw near to God, that he'll draw near to us. And even be assured that if you're drawing near to God, he's already drawn near to you, because you didn't do it of your own. He drew near first. He gave the Holy Spirit to give you the gift of faith that you might draw near to him and be his child. Praise God. We have so much to praise God for. And a successful surgery, we praise God for. But you know what? Something even far greater than that, brothers and sisters, is the surgery that God did in circumcising our hearts and drawing near to us. Praise him. Father, we do praise you. We rejoice. We rejoice in this day. We rejoice in the sanctifying work that you did within Grace Community Church today in causing us to draw near to you and causing us to place our cares and our worries upon you and coming to you for assurance and coming to you and asking for our pastor to be healed. And we're still doing that. But God, that's a wonderful work that you've done in our presence. And Father, we pray for that wonderful work that was done in San Francisco. We pray for the good fruit of that. We pray for total, complete healing for Brian. We pray that he's back here real soon expounding 1 Corinthians. We pray, Father, that he's back here in Genesis. And we pray that eventually one day we get to Romans. We pray for many, many, many more years of exposition by Brian Borgman. In Christ's name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada. To receive a copy of this or other messages, call us at area code 775-782-6516 or visit our website, gracenevada.com.